All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Tes Zayin, and we're actually going to pick up on the last line of Kuf Tes Vav. So today's daf is 116. We're going to pick up on the last page of 115. We'll say we dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of Chaim Yaakov David Ben Avigail. We dedicate our learning in the Zuchus of Esther Bas Chanahenya. And in the Zuchus of Refuah Shalima for Gavriel Bas Ben Sara. Gavriel Mordechai Ben Sara is undergoing a serious procedure today as well. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Kol Chole Yisrael will experience an enduring and ongoing Refuah. So let's begin. So remember, we left off yesterday with the really fascinating discussion between Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai and the Tzduki, specifically about the ability for the granddaughter to inherit alongside a daughter. Remember the case that we left off with yesterday? Yaakov dies, Yaakov has two children, Reuven and Dinah. And what happens? Reuven and Dinah. And what occurs? Reuven predeceases his father, but leaves behind a daughter, Sarah, we'll call her. So then at that point in time, Yaakov dies. So remember again, the halacha, as we learned it, is who is the inheritor of Yaakov's estate? We'll say who's the inheritor? Sarah, right? Sarah, the granddaughter, the daughter of the deceased son. Because remember, the halacha that as we've established, and we'll see this as halacha lemaisa, the halacha as we've established is that at the end of the day, the child inherits the rights ultimately again of the deceased parent. Therefore, because the son was technically the inheritor over his daughter inherits those rights as well. That was yesterday's daf. The Tzdukim came along and said that in that kind of case, where there's a surviving granddaughter and daughter, they felt daughter and granddaughter should share equally. And they presented their halachic argument. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai brings these Pesukim from Bereishis, where again we see, and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai tries to refute them with the pesukim from Bereishis. Fine. So let's pick up on the last line. Amrle Rebbe, Bekach Ata Potrani. So the Tzduki says Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Rebbe, that's the best you got, meaning you have no better argument than that. Amrlo Shota. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai said, you fool. Belote Torah Shlema Shalanu Kisicha Betela Shalachem. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, I don't owe you a more comprehensive argument. In other words, that you're right and I'm wrong. We'll say, there's an incredible lesson to be learned from this. You know, we live in a society where we're forced to believe that every opinion is right and every opinion is valid. We'll say it's not true. Sometimes people are just wrong. Sometimes they're just wrong, and sometimes there's not two sides to the issue, and sometimes there's not a spectrum of opinions. Sometimes there's right, and sometimes there's wrong. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, I don't owe you a comprehensive argument for one simple reason. You're wrong. You're wrong. Because your entire argument is based on a flawed theology that you don't dash and darshav alpeh, but yet, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, but you want something more? I'll give you something more. He says, Ma'alabas b'no, shekein yof. Sibosai, granddaughter, has a certain power in that she inherits even when there are brothers. Sibosai, what does that mean? That even if the deceased had brothers, so Lamaisa again, Lamaisa, the granddaughter, excuse me, I'm sorry, I take that back. Even if the deceased had other sons, this granddaughter will inherit. Sibosai, so understand what this means. Let's say again, Yaakov has a number of sons. One of his sons, we'll call him Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And what happens? Reuven dies and leaves behind the daughter. Okay? So we'll say, but Reuven dies, leaves behind the daughter. Yaakov dies. What happens in Yaakov's estate, Rabbi Osei? Yaakov's estate is divided amongst his three sons. Even though Reuven's already dead, his portion goes to his daughter, Sarah. Not only that, but if Reuven is the Bechor, what does Sarah get? Pishtayim, double portion. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, the power of a granddaughter you see exists even when there are other surviving sons. Tomar bebito, shahora kocha b'makomachin. Rabbi Osei, if there's a daughter, Dinah, if when Yaakov dies, Dinah's there, but there are other surviving brothers, then what does Dinah get? Nothing. Now, Dina gets support from the estate. She does get something, but Lamaisa, she does not inherit alongside her brothers. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, you see from here that the granddaughter, meaning a daughter of the deceased son, has in fact a stronger halachic standing than the daughter of the deceased herself. So the Gemara says, Vinitzchum. Ultimately, again, this argument trumped the argument of the Tzduki, Va'usayom Asoyom. And Rabbi said, that day, the day that they overcame the Tzdukim, the day that they proved the Tzdukim wrong, they made into a Yom Tov. So it's quite beautiful. And again, that day was the 24th day of Teves. They overruled the ruling of the Tzdukim. Was a Yom Tov. Fine. So we'll say, you understand why is it such a Yom Tov? Meaning they must have many of these battles like the Tzdukim. We'll say inheritance law is exceptionally important, because inheritance law ultimately is what allows for tribal integrity. Inheritance laws is what allows for ultimately, again, mishpachos to remain intact. So therefore, again, this was a major, major accomplishment. Vayomru. So the pasuk says, according over here, the pasuk from Shoftim, Vayomru Yerushas Pleita LeBinyamin V'lo Yimacha Shevet MiYisrael. Good morning, Shoftim. That's so sweet. It's beautiful. And it's good. So the Gemara, you guys carpool. So the Gemara says the following. So Vayomer Yerushas Pleita LeBinyamin V'lo Yimacha Shevet MiYisrael. So we'll say, so remember again, the pasuk says, this is in the aftermath of the episode with Pilegesh Begiva. So we'll say, remember again, very quickly, the episode of Pilegesh Begiva was that a man from Shevet Binyamin got into a fight. I should say differently. A man got into a fight with Pilegesh, his concubine, kicked her out of the house. She was abused by many men in Binyamin that night and ultimately dies as a result. Her husband cuts up her body into 12 pieces, sends it to the various Shvatim Klal Yisrael, says, look what happened to my Pilegesh, and the Shvatim go to war against Binyamin. They virtually wipe out Shevet Binyamin, with the exception of 600 men. The Shevet is virtually wiped out. So they did something very interesting. Vayomer Yerushas Pleita LeBinyamin, V'lo Yimacha Shevet MiYisrael. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. This is actually, not yet, I'm sorry. I'm going to be, it's like, what does this mean? They said that there is a remnant of Yerusha for Binyamin, and the name of the Shevet shall not be wiped out. I'm going to be, it's like, Devei Reb Shila, Melam Shehisnu al Shevet Binyamin Shelo Tirash Basaben Ima Achin. Well, so listen to this. In that generation, they made halacha. What was that halacha? They made a takana that granddaughters, in other words, daughters of a deceased son, should not go ahead and inherit alongside the brothers, alongside the other sons of the deceased. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, it's interesting. Right after he says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai won the battle, obviously Rabbi Yochanan, this is out of chronological order. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is later. Right? But we just finished the story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai won the battle against the Tzdukim to make sure that a granddaughter, in fact, daughter of the son, inherits alongside the other sons of the deceased. Here they made a takkanah, the aftermath of Pilegesh Begiva, that the granddaughter, the daughters of the son, should not inherit. Now, what were they worried about? What were the rabbis of that generation worried about? Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Shel tirash ben abasim ha'achin, shel ben ela ha'achin yorshin kol nichse av. So just to understand what this takana means. Reuven dies, right? I should say differently. Reuven has three sons. Yaakov has three sons. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven has a daughter, Sarah. Reuven predeceases his father. Yaakov dies. What happens, Rabbi Osai? What happens? So now on a technical Yerusha level, what occurs? Sarah inherits her father's Koran Lebrachas, Reuven's portion. They made a takana now that in Shevet Binyamin that halacha does not apply. And a granddaughter will not inherit, the daughter of the deceased son will not inherit, rather, the surviving brothers inherit the entire estate. Rabbi Osai, what were they worried about? So the Rashbam, I'll just say this outside, the Rashbam explains, they're worried about the following. There are 600 men who, Rabbi Osai, are the owners of the entire tribal area of Shevet Binyamin, which Rabbi Osai, that means there's each one of these people has huge amounts of land. What were they concerned about? They were concerned about Rabbi Osai, that if a granddaughter inherits and what marries out of the tribe, then what happens? A huge swath of land of Shevet Binyamin goes with her. Now I know what you're thinking, but that could happen anyway. How could it happen if the deceased leaves behind a daughter? I mean, if you think about granddaughter for just a moment, Yaakov is from Shevet Binyamin, he leaves behind three sons, right? He leaves behind the sole daughter. So again, if she inherits and marries out, it also transfers a huge swath of land. So the Rashbam says, that far, Chazal were not willing to go. That far, the rabbis of the generation were not willing to go. If there was a sole daughter, they were not going to limit her inheritance. They only limited the case of the granddaughter in order to maintain some level of tribal integrity. Specifically, in order to safeguard Shevet Binyamin. Because mostly if you have 600 people who own an entire tribal area, one person walks away with an incredible amount of land, one granddaughter who inherits a portion of her deceased father marries out of the tribe, It disrupts tribal integrity. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara is just bringing down that episode because, again, we just got finished talking about preserving the right of the granddaughter to inherit. Now we're just about that there was a time in history where they uprooted that law. And we'll say, by the way, how do Chazal have the ability to do that if that's a Doraisa? And the answer is, of course, we know that Chazal, the rabbis, have the ability to be oker, to uproot an asay, the shevi al ta'aseh. The rabbis have the right to uproot positive commandments through inaction. Therefore, again, this is an example of uprooting a positive commandment through inaction. By telling someone they do not inherit, Rabbosai, that's inaction on a positive commandment, and they could do it as a harashah. They are able to do it ultimately, again, as a short-term accommodation to preserve a greater good. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yochai. Kol she'eno maniach ben liyarsho, Rabbosai, whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu malei alav evra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi say, now what does this mean, malei alav evra? Take a look at the Rashbam, first wide line. Malei alav evra, perish beinu chananel, kilomar sonei oso. If a person goes ahead and leaves this world and they do not believe behind a son, that is a sign of divine displeasure. Ksif hacha, where do we know this from? Ksif hacha, it says over here, va'avartim es nachaloso, you will go ahead and move his portion. So we'll say the Lashon is, va'avartim es nachaloso libito, you will move his portion ultimately again to his daughter. This time, if there is no son, you move it to the daughter. Ksif hasam, yom evra hayom hahu, that ultimately again, we'll say, see the Lashon of evra means anger. It's a day of divine wrath, this particular day. So we'll say ultimately again, what does this mean? What this means is that what a person, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch brings down this idea, he says, why is it that people have children? Why is it that people want to have some? There's many different reasons, but on a basic level, Rav Hirsch desires that what we want most in life is immortality. That's what we want most in life. When you recognize that immortality is not in the cards, that it's not to be had, the next best thing is children. Because children, at least, is something that you leave behind in this world when you are no longer here. Therefore, the Gemara is saying over here, to leave this world and not leave behind children, ultimately, again, is a hole in existence. I both said, now the beautiful part is, we have many other Ma'amari Chazal that also bring down the Yisod, that children need not be your biological children. So I'll say, what does that mean? A person has talmidim, a person has students, a person has people that they impacted, a person made a difference in the lives of others, that's also begeder children. What the Gemara is really saying, the Ben Yoyada brings this down, the Gemara is saying that what does it mean when a person leaves this? See, even if you think about this, Kol Shein Maniach Ben Liyarsha, Kadosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra, you know, if I leave this world without a son, so again, it's not my fault. Meaning, let's say I have 15 daughters, Baruch Hashem, you know, I mean, I can't control ultimately, again, the nature of my children. That's like period of Arivia. We'll say the mitzvah is to try to have children. Again, the mitzvah is not the act actually having children. That I can't control that process at the end of the day. We'll say what it really means at the end of the day is that a person leaves this world and they've had no impact. A person leaves this world and they've only lived for themselves. A person leaves themselves when they don't leave behind the son. I mean, they don't leave behind any trace of their existence. They don't leave the world any better than when they entered. Malei alav evra. The Rebbe Shalom is filled with such anger over a person. I put you in this world to affect so much change. I put you in this world to do so many good things, and you left without doing anything. There's divine displeasure. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Asher in chalifos lamo, v'lo yiru elokim. So again, the pasuk over here, the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk from Tehillim, Asher in chalifos lamo, v'lo yiru elokim. So if you look at the Rashbam says, chalifos, chalipin memale makomo. He who does not go ahead and leave behind someone to be memale his makom, to fill his place, v'lo yiru elokim, he does not fear God. What does this mean, Rabbosai? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua, Ben Levi, Chad Amar Kol She'ino Maniach Ben. So we'll say one of them said it means when you leave this world, you have to leave a mamala makom. When you leave this world, you have to leave someone to take your place. And if you don't leave someone to take your place again, there's divine anger over that. We'll say, what does it mean someone to take my place? A ben, a son. I leave behind the son to be mamala my makom in this world. The chadamar kol she'ino maniach talmid. Others said, no, it doesn't mean the son, it means a talmid. It will say, I have to leave behind someone, ultimately, again, who I have had a roshaman, who I have had an impact on, who is going to continue my teachings, continue my legacy. Tistayim Rabbi Yochanan Damar, we'll say, first wide line, Kofta Zayinam Dalit. Tistayim Rabbi Yochanan Damar Talmud. So it appeared to be that Rabbi Yochanan who says that it means a talmid. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Din Garmei Da'asira Ba'er Bir. Rabbi Yochanan, again, we've learned this actually, this Gemara before. Rabbi Yochanan lost, had 10 sons, and they all passed away. They all predeceased him. And Rabbi Yochanan used to walk away, was to walk around with one of the bone fragments of his last son who passed away, and he would be Menachem Avol. Whenever he would go to comfort mourners, he would always take that bone fragment. So we'll say, why would he take the bone fragment? The Maharal is a beautiful idea. The Maharal says he would show the mourners that as catastrophic as loss is, there is always the ability to rebound. It's never the same, and it's never, again, the same type of life. It's never the same approach, but you'll make it through this. So Rabbi Yochanan used to walk around again with the, I've lost 10 children, Rabbi Yochanan would say, and I'm here, and I'm standing, and I'm sitting before you, not to tell you everything is going to be okay, because not everything is always okay, but at the end, I'm going to tell you that you have the strength to be able to weather this storm. So I will say, Rabbi Yochanan apparently did not leave behind the son. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, when he speaks about a Mamale Mako, must be talking about a Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan did leave behind many Talmidim. Tisayim Rabbi Yochanan Damar Talmud. So I will say, you're right, it must be Rabbi Yochanan who says that when the Pasuk says, Asher Ein Chalifos Lama V'lo Yoro Likim, that a person has to leave a Chalipin, a person has to leave a Mamale Mako, that's referring to a student. We'll say, second one, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Ben. So the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that it's a Talmud, that it's referring to a student, that must mean that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that it's a son. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that a person has to leave behind his son as his mamala makom. Ultimately, again, as someone who fills the void upon his passing. I have Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, lo azil le beitamya, elo le man deshachiv belo bani. Rabbi Yoshua, yet amazingly enough, Rabbi Yoshua, now what that means is that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi would say that ultimately, again, someone has to leave behind the son. And if they don't leave behind the son, there's a level of culpability on behalf of the individual. But is that true? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yoshua, would only go to pay Shiva visits. Lo azul beitamya, ella leman deshachiv belo bani. To someone ultimately, again, who died without sons. Now, as Rabbi Yoshua said, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, his heart used to break even more for someone who died without children. So the fact, ultimately, again, that he's going to be Menachem Avol for someone who died without children indicates to us that he did not hold that person with any level of culpability or liability. Dichsiv, Bacho, quoting over here from the Pasuk from Yirmiyah, he says, Bichu Bacho Loholich, Kilo Yashuv Od Vera Eretz Molarato. Literally, cry over the one who has left. Va'am Rabbi Yehuda Amarav Laholech. What does it mean to the one who has left? Below Ben Zachar. Cry especially for the one who has not left behind a son. It will say at the end of the day, someone who has not left behind someone to be his mamala makom, cry specifically for that individual. If you look at the Rashbam says, it will say it's in the wide lines, 2, 4, 6 lines in on the wide lines. Lohava ayu lebeitamya. The Beis Hameis Lis Avel Alav. So ultimately, again, he would go specifically again to the Beis Avel for someone who did not leave behind the son. Kidisnan Beis Mali Tank. Fine. So let's go back to the Gemara. V'Rabbi Yehuda Amar Av, L'Holich B'Lo Ben Zachar. El Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi Hi, D'Amar Talmud. Rather, both you have to say that Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi is the one who understands that Chalifos, Asha'in Chalifos Lamo, that a person has to leave a Mamala Makom. A person has to go out of his way to make sure to leave someone to fill his place. What does that refer to? That refers to a student. In other words, Rabbi Yosef, this is an incredibly important yisod. And I want to point out, you don't have to be a Rebbe, or a Rebbe, or a Rav, or anything else to have Talmidim. Rabbi Yosef, ultimately, again, we all have important lessons to learn. Make sure you teach the right lessons. Meaning, if you're cynical or sarcastic, please do not teach that to other people, because actually that's a horrible avera. Don't do that. But again, assuming you have some positive or redeeming qualities, share that with others. Those people become your talmidim as well. If you inspire someone else to live better, to live higher because of something you do in your life, then that person becomes your talmid. You become their rebbe. So if Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is talking about a talmid, when with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Amar talmid, Rabbi Yochanan Amar ben. So we'll say, if Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is saying that the Chalipin, the Memalim Makom, ultimately, again, the one who fills my space, or the one who fills my place, excuse me, ultimately is a Talmud, then it must be that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, then Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it's a Ben, that it's a son. So we'll say, again, understand what's happening over here. We're just trying to figure out, here's what we know, that the Pasuk tells me, Asher Ein Chalifos Lamo. The Pasuk levels a certain level of culpability. David Melch is saying, that woe to the person who does not leave a Chalipin. Woe to the person who does not leave someone to fill his place when he leaves this world. But who are we talking about? One opinion says that it refers to a Talmud, a student, who's going to be memalei the makam of the Rebbe when the Rebbe is no longer here. Obviously, it refers to a son, a ben, who fills the place of the father when the father is no longer here. We're just trying to figure out who says what. We think what we've gotten to over here is Rabbi Shua ben Levi is the one who says that it's a Talmud, and Rabbi Yochanan who says that it's a ben. The problem is, if Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that it's a ben, then kasha to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. They're both saying Rabbi Yochanan is contradicting himself, to which the Gemara says, lo kasha is not a contradiction, hadi day, hadi rabbi. They're both saying Rabbi Yochanan was espousing two different opinions. One was his opinion, and one ultimately again was the opinion of his Rebbe. They're both saying ultimately again the opinion of his Rebbe was that the Chalipin, the Memala Makom, is a son. And one who does not leave behind a son, ultimately, again, there's a level of culpability for that because there's no one to fill my place. Rabbi Yochanan's personal position was what? Was that, again, it refers to a Talmud, that every person has an obligation to leave behind spiritual children, Talmidim, whom ultimately, again, he had an impact on, who he left his Mesorah with, who are able to continue his work when he left this world. And I will say, of course, Rabbi Yochanan's own life experiences shaped this reality as well, because Rabbi Yochanan is one who, we said before, who lost all 10 of his sons during his lifetime. Rabbi Yochanan, again, has sons, loses sons, all of his children predecease him, but ultimately, again, despite all of that personal tragedy, he had the great zechus ultimately, again, to fill the void of his passing by leaving many incredible talmidim. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Darshay Pinchas." We'll say a little bit more. Agarata. Darshay Pinchas ben Chama. Pinchas ben Chama said, "My dichsiv v'hadad shama b'mitzrayim ki shachav David im avosav v'chi meis yoash saratzava." We'll say so. The pasuk in Navi. Pasuk Melachim says that Hadad went ahead. Hadad, who was sitting in Mitzrayim, he was sitting in Egypt, was the king of Egypt. So he hears that David died. Mshachav David Mavosa means David slept with his forefathers, right? Which means what? Which means that again he died, and he heard that Yoav died also. Yoav was the general died. So I will say that obviously the pasuk then goes on to say that Hadad felt that it was an auspicious time to attack. So what happens? V'chiz, the Gemara says. So we'll say, the Gemara notes the interesting difference in verbiage. Why is it that now Pasuk is saying what? David died, Yoav died. But yet, why David's death, what does it say? Shachavim avosav. Literally, again, he slept along with his forefathers. And by Yoav, it says mace. Why the difference? So the Gemara says, David shenyach ben. Ne'em Rabo Shchiva. So we'll say David who left behind a son, he used Lashon of Shchiva. We'll say, so Shchiva means death, but it means almost like a tranquil death. The death of David HaMelech was more tranquil. Why? Because he left behind the son who was going to be Mamala his makom. Yoav, Shalohim Yachben, Yoav who did not leave behind his son, Ne'em Rabo Misa. The Navi used Lashon of Misa. Misa also means death, but apparently it means a more traumatic death. The Yoav lohi niach ben. What are you talking about? Yoav didn't leave behind his son. Vaksi, the pasuk says, "Bibne Yoav avadje ben Yechiel." It's not true. Yoav left behind his son as well. Elo David sheniach ben Kamoso ne'em rabo shchiva. Yoav shloim niach ben Kamoso ne'em rabo misa. Rather, Bosa, here's the difference. David left behind a son who was righteous like him, and therefore the Navi uses the more tranquil lashon ultimately of Shchiva. Yoav ultimately, again, who did not leave behind a son like him, the Pasuk uses the lashon of Misa and not Shchiva. So Yaakov Lomay, same idea. Darsha Pinchas Ben Chama. So we'll say again, incredible, incredible Gemara. The idea is, we'll say, obviously, we can't control if we have sons, if we don't have sons. But at the end of the day, everyone controls the ability to be a mashpia. Everyone controls the ability to have a positive impact on someone. And the most important thing is to know that when we leave this world, whenever that may be, that we have a positive impact on someone, and that ultimately, again, we've taught someone something. That we've left some kind of positive impact on those. Those people become our children. Those people become our talmidim. Darsha Pinchas ben Chama. Kasha, so we'll say, this is just a series of teachings now, just because we quoted Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama before. So Darsha Pinchas ben Chama. Kasha Nios Pesach Beisau, Yushal Adam Yosem Yechamishim Akos. So we'll say an incredible Gemara. Poverty is more difficult inside the home of a person more than 50 lashes. Shene Emar, because we'll say, the Pasuk says, quoting over here from the Pasuk from Eov, the Pasuk says, Chanuni Atem Re'ai, Kiyat Eloka Nagabi. So this is Eov talking to his friends. Chanuni, Chanuni, Gatem Re'ai, have compassion on me. Have compassion on my friends, because the hand of God has outstretched against me. V'kamri lechavrei, his friends say back to him, Hishamar al tefen el avon, ki al ze bacharta me'oni. And his friends say to him, to Eov, well, you know what? At least you're not poor. At least you're not poor. Which Shabbosai is an incredible, incredible discussion they're having over here. They're saying, be careful, Eov, about what you complain about, because at least you're not poor. Shabbosai is an incredible yisod. You know, sometimes when a person encounters financial stress, so often the response to that person is, well, what? At least you have your health, right? Shabbosai, you know, having your health is wonderful, but the bank doesn't accept health as payment, right? The supermarket doesn't accept health as payment, right? You can't clothe your children with your health. The Gemara is telling us an incredible yisod, that when a person has financial difficulties, that sends ripple effects throughout the entire home. That could be one of the most, it sounds like a strange thing, but it can be one of the most catastrophic realities that a mishpacha, that an individual has to go out and contend with. And yes, although many other wonderful things may be intact, it's just a matter of time until those financial problems go ahead and whittle away at the other life brachos as well. It's an incredible, incredible Gemara. That's like, kasha only beso beso shal adam. So it's amazing. Eov, who's Eov? Eov is a man who lost everything. And what do his friends tell him? What do his friends tell him? At least you can pay your bills. At least you can pay your bills. Don't underestimate the power of being financially solvent. I'm not minimizing any of your other brachas, but at least again, you don't have the financial stress in your household. Incredible. Darsha Pinchas bin Chama. Pinchas bin Chama said the following: whoever has someone who is ill, who is sick in his home, yelech eitzel chacham v'yivakesh lav rachamim. He should go to a chacham and ask the chacham to daven on behalf of the sick person. Shene emar, chamas melech malach emaves v'yishchacham yichaprenu. Ultimately, again, the wrath of the king manifests in malach emaves, angels of death. V'yishchacham, bless you, and yishchacham yichaprenu. Only a wise man could provide atonement. So we'll say an incredible, incredible Gemara. That if a person has a chola, they should go to a chacham, and ultimately again, v'yivakish alav rachamim. So we'll say, I'll just share with you, we don't really have a lot of time, went too long on Gan Amunah, but I'll just tell you something very interesting with this. First of all, again, what does it mean a chacham? It doesn't say it's tzaddik, if you know this. It doesn't say it's tzaddik. Rather, it says a chacham. So we'll say, what's the pshat with the chacham? So we'll say, so again, the Nemuki Yosef brings down an incredible idea. Chacham means a tamut chacham. Which I will say means that when a person is ill, the best Yeshua a person can provide is Talmud Torah. It's Talmud Torah. So ultimately, again, make sure someone's learning on behalf of that chola. Make sure someone's ultimately, again, devoting their Torah on behalf of that person. That's what it means, Yelech Eitzel Chacham. But say, alternatively, what it also means is the following, and this segues back ultimately, again, to what we learned in Gan Emunah. I will say, Yelech Eitzel Chacham also means that at the end of the day, I will say, things in life are not random. Things in life are not, as we just learned this in Gan Emunah, things in life are not random. And when difficulty happens, when there's holy, when there's sickness, when there's adversity, I will say this is for anything in life. Yelech Eitzel Chacham. A person has to go to a Talmud Chacham, and a person has to ask a Talmud Chacham, not just to daven for them. The truth is, you could daven on your own behalf. You need instruction. What do I do with these circumstances? What do I do with this matzav? I will say, let's be clear, no one has the answers as to the why. But you sometimes go to a Talmud Chacham, to someone who has wisdom, to ask, bless you, the what. What should I do with these circumstances? I am beset by these tumultuous circumstances. What should I do? How should I navigate? Not what should I do, like what doctor should I see? Or how do I find a job? Or how do I get back on my feet? What's the message from the Ribbono Shel Olam? What should I do with this? How do I grow from these particular circumstances? That ultimately says the Ben Yoyada and the Maharal and others, that's in Yelech Eitzel Chacham. I will say sometimes the challenges in life are incredible opportunities for growth and self-development. But I have to seek out the wisdom, because sometimes if I'm the one struggling, it's hard to see the forest from the trees. But I have to go and I have to ask, what do I take from these circumstances? How should I grow? Yelech Eitzel Chacham, someone who you believe has some level of life wisdom, and ask them to help you to extract the meaning from these circumstances and to figure out how to evolve from these circumstances. Incredibly, so if I have time at the end, I'll tell you a beautiful, magnificent Rav Moshe. But let's finish. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say back to the Gemara. So remember again, this is the klal we learned in the Mishnah, that we'll say anyone who is in line to inherit, not only does he inherit, but his offspring inherit his inheritance position as well. So we saw again, Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. So what happens? Reuven dies, Reuven has a daughter, Sarah. Sarah inherits her father, Reuven's portion for inheritance. So, Bayrai Barchama, Aviyahav, the Achiyahav, Kigon Avram B'Yishmael B'Nichse Esav, Ezim and Kodin. Suppose to listen to this Shaila. So what happens if you have a fine situation? Let's say a person dies, and the surviving relatives are the grandfather and the brother of the deceased. For example, he says, Kigon Avram V'Yishmael B'Nichse Esav. So we'll say, what's the case over here? Avram Yishmael, Esav dies, and here are the two surviving relatives, Yishmael. We'll say, who's Yishmael? Yishmael is Esav's father's uncle. So you have Yishmael, which is the uncle of the deceased and the grandfather of the deceased. Right, Yishmael is Yitzchak's brother. Yitzchak is the father of Esav. So again, you have the uncle of the deceased and the grandfather of the deceased. Who is in line for inheritance? Who inherits the deceased in such a situation? Ezim and Kodem. Amar Rav, Rav said, that's an easy one. Tashma, Ha'av, Kodem, Lecho, Yotze, Yerecho. So we'll say, in that case, the father comes before any other relatives. We'll say, so in that case, who inherits? The grandfather, the Zayd, the Avram. Avram Unalat. Remember again, this is a case where Yitzhak, the father, is already deceased. So the grandfather will inherit ultimately again, before anyone else, take a look at the Rashbam. Ha'av kodem liyoresh es b'no l'chol yotzi yerecho. Nimsa Avram yoresh es Yitzchak mikamei Yishmael. So we'll say in that case again, the grandfather of the deceased will inherit before the uncle of the deceased. V'rami barchama. So we'll say Amud Beis. Rami barchama. He says agav korfei lo ayeba. We'll say that's actually not the question that Rami barchama meant to ask. Rami Barham was preoccupied with another question, and therefore he got his questions mixed up. Amen. What did Rami Barham mean to ask? Agav korfei lo ayin bei. So what did he mean to ask? He meant to ask the following question. Boy Rami Barham, avi ha'av ve'echov. So we'll say ultimately again, what if you have the following situation? The father of the father and brothers. Kigon, Avram v'Yaakov v'Nichse Esav, Ezem hen Kodem. We'll say, the question he meant to ask was the following. Esav dies. They're both saying, in this case, presupposes that Yitzchak died as well. Because if Yitzchak was alive, then what? We've already established that a father inherits. So we'll say, here's the question. Esav dies, and there are two surviving relatives. Who are they? Yaakov, his brother, and Avraham, his grandfather. So in a case like this, where the two closest surviving relatives are a brother of the deceased and a grandfather of the deceased, Eza Mehen Kodem. They both say, who takes precedence in inheritance? They both say, you understand, let's just frame this for just a moment. If let's say the two surviving relatives were the father of the deceased, let's say it was Yitzchak and Yaakov, father of the deceased brother, who inherits? Father, right? That everyone agrees with. So now the twist that Rami Barham is bringing down is, what happens if it's not the father, but instead what? It's the Zayd, it's the grandfather. So if there's a grandfather and a surviving brother, who inherits the deceased? So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Tashma, Rava said, Ha'av kodem l'chol yotze yirecho. So again, Rava said, well, it's from the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? A father ultimately, again, precedes all other relatives. And I will say, when we say a father precedes all the relatives, what that essentially means is the following. If you're looking for inheritors, if you imagine the family tree, if you're already at the point, so obviously any inheritors that come below the deceased, descendants of the deceased, will inherit. Once you get to the point that you're looking for relatives on a lateral level, then that allows us to look upwards as well. So once you're into what we call lateral inheritance, then again the first person you look to when you're in lateral inheritance who? Is the father. I know that was a misleading question. But what I meant is meaning, I apologize. Once you got it right? Okay, I'm sorry. So once you go ahead and you're looking for lateral inheritance, and I both say, then first we look for the father. Once there's no father, now the shaila is, who do we look for? So do we look laterally, or do we look upward? So now, and the shaila comes up, is what happens, I've got a surviving brother, and I have a surviving grandfather. Who is going to inherit in that situation? So Rava says, I don't understand, it's not a kasha. Tashma, we learned, Ha'av kodim l'chol yotzei yirecho. A father comes before all other descendants, right? Or all other relatives. We'll say it's not descendants, because remember, descendants meaning offspring of the deceased will come before everyone. But once there's no deceased, and we're looking at lateral inheritance, we're looking at other relatives, so a father is going to come before all of them. Therefore, again, I will say, Rava suggests that in this case, Avram, the grandfather, will come before Yaakov, the brother. Rai Bar Chama says, I don't know about that. Yotze Yerecho Shalo, Velo Yotze Yerecho Shal Bino. Well, say ultimately again, we say that ultimately again, when we say that a father comes before everyone, that really, we always thought that meant who? The father of the deceased. Because we'll say, if you think about this just a moment, let's play this out. So Esav dies. Let me illustrate with different names just for this moment over here, right? So Reuven dies, and Reuven has three brothers: Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. And what happens? He has no children. So what happens? I will say, and he has his father. His father Yaakov is still alive. So Reuven dies. So now you've got a father who stands in position and brothers. So who comes first? So the Mishnah tells us the father comes first. Why? Because they both say Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. Their only entitlement to inherit is why? Is why? Because they're brothers of the deceased. Why are they brothers of the deceased? Because they're the sons of the father. So therefore, their position only comes from their father's position. Because their position only comes from their father's position, therefore the father inherits before them. So Rabbi Rachama says, I understand that applies to the father of the deceased. Who says that applies to the grandfather of the deceased? So the Gemara says, Hachinami mistabra, diktani zaklal, kalakonda benachalo, Yotze Yerecho Kodmin. What did the Mishnah say? Well, say anyone who has precedence ultimately in inheritance, that position is inherited also by his offspring. Ve'ilu Isei LeYitzchak, Yitzchak Kodem. And were Yitzchak the father of the deceased alive, Yitzchak would ultimately inherit. Hashtanami Delesi LeYitzchak, Yaakov Kodem. We'll say now that there is no Yitzchak in play, now that there is no Yitzchak here because Yitzchak died, Rabbi Bar Chama suggested ultimately again, it should be that what? It should be that Yaakov inherits. Nebuchadnezzar, the brother. Nebuchadnezzar, you should know, we actually don't pass in like that. We pass in like Rava, and we pass in that where there is no, where the deceased has no offspring, no children, and all there is a brother and a grandfather, that in fact, again, we pass in like Rava, that at the end of the day, the grandfather will inherit before the surviving brother. So we'll say, let me just close out this sugya with a statement of the Shulchan Aruch. I actually should have copied this here so you could have this. We'll say, Shulchan Aruch brings down, and this in fact is halacha l'maaseh, because now we're not closing out Yerusha, but we're closing out a little bit some of the order. So the Gemara says the following, this is in Shulchan Aruch, Hoshin Mishpat, Hilchos Nachlos, Simen Resh Ayin Vav Sif Aleph. Seder Nachlos Kach. We'll say, the order of inheritance is the following. Mishameis, Beno Yorsha. First position inheritor, son. Lo nimsa ben, right? If there's no son, then what? Roin im yesh leben zera. Meaning, if there was a son, but the son died, so what do we look for? First, offspring of the son. That's the first thing we look for. Ben zachar ben nekeva at sof kol ador. Suppose say, what we look for, so again, the son is the first position inheritor. If the son predeceased his father, then we look for offspring of the son. Male offspring, female offspring, we look for offspring. So we'll say, let's say now the son predeceased the father, and there's no descendants from the son, or for that matter, there was no son at all. Ultimately, again, daughter is second in line. So if there is no son and no offspring of a son, then daughter. It will say, if there's no daughter, I'm going to give the copy of this to you tomorrow. If there's no daughter, then in Yeshla Zera, if she had children, I'll say there was a daughter, but she predeceased her father. If she has offspring, Bein Zachar, Bein Nekeva, Atzov, Kaldor, Siyar, Shakol, then her offspring inherits everything. Lo Nimtzala Zera, I'll say, what happens if the daughter predeceases and she left behind no heirs, she left behind no children, or for that matter, there was no daughter. In other words, this would be a case of where there are no children, either are no surviving children, are no surviving grandchildren, or there were no children to begin with. Tachzer HaYerusha La'aviv Shalmeis. Then Abbas' inheritance goes to the father. So again, and you see over here, we do not go laterally, we go up in the family tree. So then we give the Yerusha of the deceased to his father. Then Ein Aviv Kayam, what happens if the father is not alive? Then who gets the Yerusha? Tachzor lezaro shem achi hames. Then Rabbi said, this is interesting. If the father died already, so there's no father to inherit the son, then essentially the sons inherit the rights of their father. Then the Yerusha comes back down to who? Who? The brothers of the deceased. So it said only if there's no father does the Yerusha go back down to the brothers. Im lo ach, Yerusha kolos, if there's a surviving brother, the brother inherits the estate. Now, Bosa, interestingly enough, the way the Shulchan Aruch frames it is that Lamaisa, the sons are inheriting the portion of the father. Lo nimtzal ach. Bosa, what happens if there's no brothers? So now, Bosa, at this point in time, there's no children, there's no grandchildren, there's no father, there are no brothers. So who gets the Yerusha? Lo nimtzal ach. Im hiniach zera atzov kaladoros omeid bimkomo liyoresh. So we'll say ultimately again, you look for the closest surviving male relative. You look for the closest surviving male relative. Lo nimtza lo ach, v'lo zarim anu. So we'll say ultimately, I'm sorry, let me take that back. What we then look for are the offspring of the brothers. Okay? Just follow this. In case if there's no brother, we'll look for the offspring of the brother. Lo nimtza lo ach, v'lo zarim anu. What happens if there's no brother and there's no offspring from the brother? Tachzer hayirusha la'achos hames atzov kaladoros. You give it to the sister of the deceased. What happens if lo nimtza lo achos v'lo zera mimenu? So we'll say, what happens again if there's no offspring of the mace? If there's no sister, then we'll say, interesting, we'll say this is machlokes, tachzer hayirusha la'avi aviv shal mace. Then it goes back to the grandfather. So both sides, the way the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, and we're going to see others who disagree with this. That's why I told you that Allah is like Rabbah, but you'll ignore that for now. Shulchan Aruch paskens that when does Yerusha go to the grandfather? Only after you've exhausted the possibilities for lateral inheritance. So only again, there's no siblings, there are no siblings, there's no offspring from siblings, then you go back up to grandparents. V'meino kayom, it will say, if there's no grandfather alive, choz lezaro shem achi avi hames. So ultimately again, you look for descendants of the grandfather. So this keeps on playing out further and further and further. But for our purposes, the basic order of Bosei is children, in the absence of children, if the children predecease their children, then ultimately again grandchildren. No grandchildren goes to the father of the deceased. No father, siblings of the deceased, and that fans out, right? That spreads out, right? First brothers and their offspring, then sisters and her offspring, and only again once you've exhausted all those possibilities for lateral inheritance, then ultimately again we look for the grandfather. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Amir Hashem with the Mishnah tomorrow. Rav Moshe, I have to save it for a different time.